Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 26, Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And this says, let me change my translation here, the Passion Translation. Look at this. So, angelic prophecy of Jesus' birth. Look at verse 26 here, Luke chapter 1. During the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary. Living in Nazareth, in the village of Galilee, she was engaged to a man named Joseph, a true descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you, and so you are anointed with great favor." Another translation actually says, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Everybody say, "Rejoice." We'll come back to that in a moment. Verse 29, Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this meant for her. But the angel reassured her, saying, "Do not yield to your fear, Mary. The Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. He will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme, and he will be known as the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit." But Mary said, "How can this happen? I am still a virgin." Gabriel answered, "The Spirit of Holiness," or the Holy Spirit, "will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And what's more, your aged aunt Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son. The barren one is now in her sixth month. Not one promise from God is empty of power. Nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, saying, "This is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass." And the angel left her. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord's hand on this time, a great anointing on this message as we come together. Mighty God, we just do. We invite you, Holy Spirit, right now. Lord, even as your Spirit came in might and power over Mary, Lord, we ask that that same Holy Spirit would rest upon us here in this house today. Come on, church, lift up your voice and let's ask the Lord to move in this place. Mighty God, we ask for a great anointing to be released in this house. I pray, Mighty God, that you would release an anointing over my life, that I would preach with authority and under the unction of your Spirit as I ought to. And Lord, you would anoint each and every person within the sound of my voice. Lord, let your Spirit open our hearts and open our ears to see, hear, receive what it is your Spirit is speaking. And I bind the works of the enemy who would try and disrupt, distract, uproot the Word of God as it comes forward. Lord, let there be a great liberty and let there be a great joy in receiving your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I love the series that we've been in. Who knows the name of the series that we're in right now? Joy. Everybody say joy. We talked about how joy is a big deal in the kingdom. In fact, the book of Romans chapter 14 summarizes what the kingdom of God is. If you were to describe the kingdom of God in just a few words, the Apostle Paul says, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's a big deal if you think about it. How would you describe the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Everybody say joy. There's so much joy throughout Scripture. And what we talked about a couple weeks ago is joy defined. It's the passion or the emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of God. It's a delight of mind from the consideration of present or assured approaching possession of a good. Man, that is a mouthful and it's hard to wrap your mind around, but let me just explain it to you in simpler terms. The Lord gives you a promise and you have a joyful expectation that it's coming your way. There is joy that is experienced when we receive. How many of you have experienced the joy of receiving a great gift? I think we all have. And it's just like, wow, this is awesome. You know, that's one of the things I love. And how many of you have experienced the joy of giving a gift? Hopefully all of us have. Okay, if you haven't, we'll exercise that sometime. In fact, we give our kids, we give them shopping money, and we take them because we want them to understand the joy of giving gifts as well as receiving. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I love receiving gifts. My wife is a gifts person, and so we're big into giving and receiving gifts. But in the scripture, you'll also notice that there are times where maybe we know that something is coming. We know that God is getting ready to do something, and the response is joyful expectation. Joyful, everybody say joyful expectation. Yeah, and we even talked about the fact that our faith is made evident by joy. And you'll see this in a number of ways. I find it very interesting, in fact, when the angel Gabriel, he came to two different characters here in the book of Luke. We talked about one just the other week. We talked about Zacharias. And what I find very interesting is the angel Gabriel comes to Zacharias, and then just a short time later comes to Mary. And you'll notice that the response is very different, even though when the angel came to both of them, they said the same thing. The very first things that he said, in fact, you can look at this. The angel says, don't be afraid. And he comes to Mary. He says, don't be afraid. And they were both afraid, but they said, don't fear. And then he said, rejoice. He said that to Zacharias that your son John would bring people great joy and cause them to rejoice. And then we read it just a moment ago, how when the angel came to Mary, he said, rejoice, highly favored one. And so watch this. Both of them were afraid. Both of them were encouraged to rejoice or express joy over the word of the Lord. Now here's what's interesting. Both of them were afraid. Both of them had questions. How is this going to happen? Zacharias said, I'm old. My wife is old. We don't have any kids. Mary said, how is this going to happen? I am a virgin still. How am I going to have a child? The angel explains how it's going to happen in both of these situations. And then the Bible says that Zacharias didn't believe. And the Bible says that he was struck mute because he didn't want any negative response. But the Bible says that Mary's response, we read it just a moment ago. This is amazing. That's what she said. This is amazing in verse 38. She had joyful expectation. I will be the mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass. The question is, church, how do we respond when the Lord gives us a word? How do you respond? Do you respond with joy? It's okay to ask questions. We see both of them ask questions. It's okay even to have a little bit of fear. God, how is this going to happen? I don't understand how all of this is going to come to be. But what will really determine where our faith is, do we find ourselves joyful? Do we find ourselves getting excited over what? How many of you are excited about what 2020 could bring in this new year? I mean, church, I can't even wait, man. I am so excited. And the fact that I have joy. Now, I've had seasons in my life, I'll be honest with you. In fact, let me give you a good example. My wife and I have made a commitment that coming in this new year, we're going to seriously get in shape. We're going to do it. I know it's the cliche thing. January, everybody gets a gym membership, and by week three, we've already failed in it. But we're determined. And can I tell you, I do not have joy over that expectancy. Like, it's not a pleasant thought because I know it's going to require work. And so maybe I'm faithless over it, but you know, one of these days, maybe this time next year, I'm going to look in the mirror and I'll have joy because, wow, look at what happened. But I tell you, when I consider what God is going to do and what He already is doing, I have nothing but joyful expectation. Yeah, I am a little scared. I am. I have some fear. I have some questions. God, do we have the people? Do we have the resources? Do we have the time? Do we have the energy? Do we have the facility? I've got questions about how God is going to do what He has spoken He's going to do. But I have nothing but joy and excitement, a joyful expectation. God, You're going to do some amazing things in 2020. How many of you feel that way about the Lord and what He's doing as well? So I want to be joyful because I really am of the mindset God is going to accomplish His will one way or another. And here's the deal. You can be a Zacharias who has to be struck mute in order to fulfill God's will, or you can be a Mary who rejoices in the word of the Lord. And so let's all be Marys, okay? I know that's kind of a, yeah, well, whatever. Never mind. So anyway, but we're going to do this. A wise man once said, listen, if you can't say anything nice, what? Don't say anything at all. If you can't agree with the Lord, if you can't be joyful over a situation, keep your mouth shut. A wise man once said, Lord, keep your arm around my shoulder and your hand over my mouth. It's a good prayer to pray, isn't it? In fact, another wise saying, a closed mouth gathers no foot. Think about that, okay? No, that's not in the Bible. It's a wise saying. It's not in the Bible. But if Solomon were alive today, he might say something like that. So help us with our words, Lord. And so the Lord spoke to Joseph. Now, this is what's very awesome. Because you consider Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. You know what these guys were joyfully expecting over? They were expecting over not just the birth of a baby. You understand that. They weren't just excited that, wow, Mary's going to have a baby. Whoa, Elizabeth was barren and she's going to have a... No, they understood. In fact, when you look at the way the Lord spoke to different characters throughout the Christmas narrative, you'll see something very interesting. The Lord spoke to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. And He said, your wife will become pregnant, which, by the way, how many of you understand that that needed to happen? Like, He needed to... If your fiance, whom you've never slept with, comes home pregnant and said, I haven't been doing nothing, you know, that's going to raise some questions. He needed that angelic visitation to say, listen, Joseph, no, this is a God thing, okay? And that's exactly what happened. So Joseph in Matthew 1, he says, your wife will become pregnant. And he said, she will give birth to a son, and he will be Emmanuel, God with us. That's what that name Emmanuel means, God with us. He had a clear understanding. Jesus wasn't just going to be a miracle baby, but Jesus was going to be God clothed in human flesh. He was the anointed of the Lord, called to take away the sin of the world. When Joseph heard, he is Emmanuel, he is God with us. Mary was told, call him Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Zacharias prophesied that Jesus would visit and he would redeem the people and deliver them from their enemies. John the Baptist prophesied, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Simeon received a word from the Lord. I love this. This is a really neat story. Simeon heard from the Lord. He was a priest in the house of God. And the Lord spoke to him, you will not die until you see the Lord's anointed Savior come. And what was amazing is he came in on his day off. The Bible actually talks about he wasn't supposed to serve that day, but there was a prompting. He went into the house of God on the day that they dedicated Jesus to the Lord. Eight days old, he goes into the house of God. In the moment that he saw baby Jesus, he knew that is the Lord's anointed. He took him in his hands. He blessed him. He prophesied over him. And then he said, now I can die. And that's exactly what he did. The priest lived in a building right next door to the temple. He went next door and he died. It's an absolutely incredible account. And Anna, the prophet, another one, she saw Jesus and began to proclaim and tell all. In fact, arguably became the first evangelist for Jesus as she began to go around and tell everyone that the Redeemer had come. We talked a moment ago about the Magi and how they came and they honored Jesus with gifts of gold to recognize him as the King of Kings. They gave him incense, recognizing him as God, the Alpha and the Omega, and they gave him myrrh to mark him as the Savior of the world bought by blood. And here's my question to us today, church. Do you know Jesus that way? Do you know the Christ of Christmas? Do you know baby Jesus? Or do you know the King of Kings? Do you know Jesus, the religious painting, or do you know the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? Do you know a Jesus song, or do you know the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? This is a huge thing, and this is what I want to challenge each and every one of us. This is my most earnest prayer during this Christmas season. As I know, there's songs and there's declaration and there's attention that's given towards Jesus. But there are so few that know him personally. And church, if there's anything that I want you leaving here today with, is I want you receiving not only the image of Jesus, but I want you to receive the very nature and the characteristics. I want you to receive the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, who takes away the sin of the world. Do you know why Jesus came? Do you know why he endured all that he did? One of the things I love, you look at this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. This is the last verse that I'm going to share, and then we're gonna exchange gifts and we're going to have a good time. But this is so important, because did you know that the reason Jesus was willing to come and endure the cross and endure the hatred, do you know what drove him? Joy. Joy. Everybody say joy. Hebrews 12, 1. This is what it says. As for us, we have great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we'll be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. For the path has already been marked out before us. We look away from the natural realm. We fix our gaze on Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. Now pay attention. His example, Jesus' example, is this. Watch. Because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. Let me say that again. His heart was focused on the joy of knowing you would be his. He endured the agony of the cross. He conquered its humiliation, and he now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what Jesus had? He had joyful expectation. He had joyful expectation of a life that would be lived with you. This is the reason that he came in the flesh. He laid down his life because he literally could not imagine the idea of being separated from you for all eternity. That's a really big deal. And I said it in our prayer time, but I want you to grasp this. Jesus did not die some general, flippant, sort of generic sacrifice. He didn't just, well, I'm going to shed my blood and whoever wants it is able to receive it. Jesus was very intentional about each and every person that he died for. He specifically knew your life and your brokenness and your sin. He knew what eternity in hell would look like. And he looked upon your life and he said, I cannot bear to spend eternity without them. That was more agonizing to Jesus than the cross, than the shame, than the brutal abuse. The idea of you being separated from him for all eternity was greater abuse than anything that he endured in this life. And what drove him and what motivated him was the joy that they're going to be with me. If I die, if I lay down my life, if I am sacrificed for them, he had the joyful expectation that you would be with him for all eternity. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. And so Jesus, he did a couple things here. We just read it there in Hebrews 12 and verse 2. It says that he, first of all, he endured. Everybody say endure. He endured because of joyful expectation. And I'm not going to go into gory detail. This is our family Christmas, and I'm not going to get really heavy or anything, but I want you to understand, when you read that crucifixion account, what he bore physically in his body, he endured that for you, for the joy of seeing you with him. In fact, Hebrews 10:20 says that by his death, he opened a new life-giving way through the curtain or the veil of his flesh. Now, here's a mind-blowing revelation. Are you ready for something? This is what the Bible... Do you want to know how something passes from the spiritual unseen realm and comes into the natural world? How is it that a spiritual gift is able to manifest in a physical body? How is it that we can pray right here in an altar and we can say, Lord, I know that you have healing in heaven. I know that you have deliverance in heaven. I know that you have financial provision in heaven. And how is it that we can see a spiritual reality manifest in our physical life? Are you guys checking with me? You want to know how? It is through his death, Jesus opened a life-giving way through the curtain or the veil of his flesh. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, Jesus, who came from the unseen realm, came into this life. And he allowed his body to literally, the Bible says, a curtain or a veil of his flesh was open so that we could enter into a new life-giving way. That's a big deal. That's why my wife shared this story, but I don't know if anybody online has heard this yet. We were in a service on the Big Island just recently, and the pastor, as well as another individual, his son actually, like kind of his adopted son, had both experienced just brutal hernias in their physical body within the week before that we had gotten there. In fact, we get there, Pastor Dan on the Big Island had just received surgery to have his hernia repaired, okay? And so we get there, and the Lord begins to speak to me as I was praying before the service. And this idea that I've laid out throughout the course of this series, that it's generally the areas that God intends to anoint that the enemy will attack. And so if you find that your health is constantly being attacked, maybe take it as a sign, Lord, you want to do something in the realm of healing. You want to do something in the realm of my health, and the enemy's trying to attack that. Maybe you've got a wonderful marriage, but you find that, man, there is just unusual tension that's going on between us. I don't understand what this is. This seems unusual. Take it as a sign that the Lord wants to do something powerful in your marriage, and the devil sees it as a threat. Do you understand? And so I had this idea that's just been brewing in me for quite some time. And I go in there and I said, Pastor Dan, I feel like the Lord wants to release a great healing movement right here in your church. And that's part of the reason that the enemy is attacking you in the area of your health. Well, he's already had the surgery and he was on the road to recovery, but his son, Jeremiah, had not. And here's what's incredible. I released that faith word. Jeremiah goes home and goes to sleep. And in the night, he has an angel come to him in a dream. And the angel looks at him and says, you are healed in the name of Jesus. He wakes up in the morning, feels no pain in his body where he had a hernia in his stomach. He now wakes up, he feels no pain, and he goes to his parents and he explains the dream to him, says, I had an angel come to me in the night and it spoke that I was healed in the name of Jesus. And there, you know, the parents get excited. Well, that's great. And he says, I want to go to the doctor. I want to go and have an x-ray. I want to have this thing checked out, and I want to see if the Lord did what I believe that he did in my dream. They go. They have this x-ray done, and wouldn't you know it, they find that the hernia is completely gone. He has been 100% healed. That's the supernatural coming into the natural realm. I'm telling you, church, you want to know? I don't know if that would have happened if faith had not been released in that moment. I know that it would not have happened if Jesus had not done. Every time you consider, every time you think about healing that's been received, deliverance that's been received, financial provision that's been, a relationship that's been restored, anything that you have received in the natural, I want you to understand that has become a reality because Jesus was willing to endure. He was willing to endure the agony of the cross. Does that make sense? Okay. And here's, you know what's crazy about it? He did it with joy. With joyful expectation. How do you suffer brutally and yet have joy? Because he knew what he was buying. He knew what he was buying. The second thing it says that he not only endured the agony of the cross, but he conquered its humiliation. Everybody say conquered. Jesus, he did a lot. It's not just in the natural, in the physical realm, but he did a lot. He did a lot of conquering as in his joyful expectation of what was going to be brought into our lives. Not only did he endure physically, but he conquered humiliation. You understand what Jesus did on the cross, he did to minister in each and every one of our emotions. And so what you need to understand and what we need to begin to take authority, when the devil tries to bring shame into your life, you say, no, no, devil, because Jesus himself endured. Jesus conquered everything that you would try and bring into our emotion. In fact, did you know that the devil's name in the New Testament, Satan, his name is literally translated accuser. And so every time you feel some accusation come into your life, you just say, devil, no. Jesus conquered you. Jesus is a conqueror. Depression has been conquered in the name of Jesus. Anxiety has been conquered. Hopelessness has been conquered. Fear has been conquered. Hatred, insecurity has been conquered. Unworthiness, rejection has been conquered. Humiliation has been conquered. Unforgiveness has been conquered. You put in there whatever it is that you need. I want you to know Jesus is a conqueror. That's what the cross represents. That's why he came. He endured physically so we could receive physically. And he conquered emotionally so we could be conquerors emotionally. And here's the last thing. Minister Ryland, would you come? I'm closing with this. It says that Jesus endured. It says that he conquered. He says that he did these things with joy. And now, this is my favorite part, he sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. He sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So here's what I want you to understand. You can endure because he endured. You can conquer because he conquered. And some of you wonder, well, Pastor, where do you make the connection? I see Jesus did that, and he did it with joy. But how does that work for me? Here's the last thing. We're going to endure. We're going to conquer. Third thing, you're going to rest. What does that mean? You're going to rest in the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. This is how this works. I want you to think about this. Do you want to know how redeemed a man can be? Like, how redeemed can a man be? Think about the fact that there is a real man who is seated at the right hand of God Almighty right now. I mean, literally. I want you to get out of this, like, oh yeah, spiritually, somewhere out there, some mystical expect. No, for real, there is a physical, resurrected man who is sitting on a physical throne at the right hand of God Almighty. That is how redeemed a man can be. And the Bible says in Ephesians 1, God raised Christ from the dead. He exalted him to the place of highest honor, supreme authority in the heavenly realm at God's right hand. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, realm of power in existence, every demonic power. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that can be praised in this age and in the age that is coming. We know that about Jesus. He's been exalted above every name, over every power. But watch this. It continues in Ephesians 2, 6. And it says that we are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's mind-boggling. You know what that means? His authority becomes your authority. His victory becomes your victory. His endurance becomes your endurance. His conquering becomes your conquering if we're seated in him. How do we do that, Pastor? You receive it and you rest in it. That's it. You're not going to work hard enough to get healed. You're not going to think hard enough to get free in your emotions. You just receive the accomplished work of Jesus. You rest in it. Jesus, I don't need to wrestle with this thing because you did. I don't need to labor it over it anymore because you did. So I rest in your accomplished work. I want every head bowed, every eye closed all across this room. I have some more fun in this service, but this is the most important moment of the day right now. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus. I want to know that I'm seated with him in heavenly places. Maybe you're here today and you say, I need healing in my body. I need provision in the natural. I need the Lord to move in a relational thing, in a financial thing. Jesus endured the cross so that you could have it. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I struggle in my emotions. I need joy. I need hope. I need peace. I need love. Jesus conquered humiliation that tried to come on him. He conquered so that we could be conquerors. Maybe you're here and you know that hell, that death, the powers of hell, they have a measure of authority over your life because you're not yet seated with Christ in heavenly places. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I have a real fear of hell. I'm not sure if I'm right with God. I'm going to lead us in a prayer and a declaration right now to receive Jesus and all that he's made available for us, whether in the natural, in the emotional, or in the eternal. The Bible says if you'll call on his name, you'll be saved. If you believe in the Lord Jesus with all your heart and you confess him with your mouth, the Bible says you will be saved. So I want to lead us in a simple declaration right now. And even as we speak these words, if you need healing, if you need to conquer in your emotions, or if you need to know that you've made that transition from hell into heaven, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, you say these words with faith, and I'll believe the Lord is doing a great work in your life. Would you repeat this prayer with me right now, everybody? Right out loud, pray. Dear Jesus, I ask you, Lord, do a work in me. I come to you. I know I've fallen short of your holy standard. But you came. You lived a sinless life. You died a sinner's death. A death that I deserved. You took it for me. You endured the cross. You conquered humiliation. And you're seated in authority today. I ask you, Lord, receive me into your kingdom, into your life. Wash away my sins. Make me a new creation. And I ask you, give me your endurance. Give me the spirit of a conqueror. And move me into your authority. I am seated with you in heavenly places. The devil is beneath my feet. Healing is in my hands. Strength is in my emotions. I thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And I receive the greatest gift that Christmas could ever offer. The gift of you, Jesus. Be my Savior, the Lord of my life, and my very best friend. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, can we give God praise? Hallelujah. Well, we've got some gifts to give away right now. I think they're going to come through this door. Do I need to say or do something? Let them in, Goody. Are you ready for some chaos? This is one of the most fun things that we do. This kind of stuff used to stress me out. But we're going to let the kids in. Are they ready? Are they ready? Here they come. Would we welcome them? And are you doing this? Oh, my wife's not doing this. I don't know who's doing this. Hallelujah. We like to give away gifts. Thank you, by the way, for everybody who contributed. Many gave financially. You went out and bought gifts, and we have, I think, right at 100 gifts, maybe a little more, that we're going to give away to each and every one. I love this rope system that we've got going on. Can I hand this to somebody? Oh, you guys have a song special. I missed the memo. Here we go. Will you welcome our children's ministry?
The Lord is come. Let her Great job. Thank you guys for allowing us to worship with you. All right, kids, I need you guys to have a seat because it is time to get some presents. Kids, are you ready? Yeah. All right, leaders, we can give out our presents. We want to just say thank you guys so much for donating all your prizes, any gifts, any monetary gifts. We are so appreciative. We're so thankful for whatever you guys did. These kids are truly blessed to have you guys here, a part of our church. So kids, are you guys ready? Are you guys ready? We're going to give out some presents. They actually have a special message they want to tell you guys right now. We'll do it before we open our presents. Guys, what do we want to say to everybody? Ready? One, two, three. Thank you and Merry Christmas. You guys are so awesome. We're so excited. We've been practicing in the back within our ministry. We had presents wrapped up like 700 times, and they had to rip it open all the way to the middle. So we have been preparing for today. They are so excited and so ready. Alrighty, boys, you guys ready? We got a few more presents coming. Willow, we got some over here. 6 to 9 girls. All right, here we go. Oh, Brother Matt is ready. Okay, here we go. We're going to open presents. Let's go, let's go. On your mark. Ready, kids? Okay, lift your presents in the air. When I say three, you're going to open your presents as fast as you can. Are you guys ready? Ready? One, two, three, open presents. Go, go, go. Wow, look at this stuff. This is awesome. Whoa, gonna get your nails done, Halia. Get your nails done. We got some Nerf bra, flask, and Beyblade. How awesome. All right, kids, I want you guys to show your presents. Thank you guys so much. You guys are such a blessing to King's Kids and all of our children here. Hey, Santa is here! Right on. You guys are so awesome. All right. Kids, I want you to freeze. We want to close our service in a time of prayer. Thank you guys again so much for blessing our kids. We are truly thankful. Let's pray a prayer of blessing. God, we thank you for everyone here today. We thank you that we have a church that loves our kids. We pray that you'll bless every single person who blessed our kids, who donated gifts and monetary gifts. Go before us today. We thank you, Jesus. Bring us back for candlelight service. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.